Years ago, it's been about close to about 33 decades ago, I met your pastor, and my English was really bad. Now it has gotten much worse. So I'll just do my best, and the rest is your responsibility. Okay? But something that I was really impressed with your pastor was his love for souls, love for people. And, oh, what a blessing, what a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Tanis, for allowing us, me and my wife, Ruth, to be here. We have 5 kids, and we have 7 of the most beautiful grandkids you've ever seen in your life. Okay. Well, we are missionaries in Uruguay. Notice I say Uruguay, not Hawaii. Okay, Hawaii, Uruguay still is a beautiful country, but, you know, maybe not as beautiful as Hawaii. But let me tell you, it is a dark place. It is a dark place. The least evangelized country in Latin America. The least religious country in the Western Hemisphere. Could you believe, you know, people that we had a 92-year-old lady came in a wheelchair, and I went to greet her, and she said, you know, I'm nervous, I'm sorry, she says, but you know, this is my very first time at a church. People, you know, that we will go witnessing to, and I remember this particular lady, and I was showing her a verse, so I hand the Bible to her, and something like John 3:16, and she started shaking and very nervous, and I thought, well, maybe she doesn't know how to read, which is rare because Uruguayans are quite educated. But and then she suddenly says, you know, I'm sorry, sir, you know, I'm so nervous, but this is the very first time I ever touched a church, a Bible. And this was like 65-year-old lady. And just yesterday, thank you for supporting the Gonzales. What a wonderful, solid, godly missionaries they are. My son-in-law, my daughter. And I was talking to them, and they said there was a girl yesterday, a teenager, I think she was like 16, and they were walking in front of the church and started talking, and he says, you know, I never gone to church. And so I never met a pastor. He said, well, okay, so you already met one, and come on, let me show you inside. So it was four teenagers. And so they all went in, into the church, and one of them, they said, I had never been, did my very first time ever at a church. And they started, and then they went to the social hall, and they saw a ball, and she was shocked. She said, what is this doing at church? He said, well, we have a lot of games, and now you're welcome to come tomorrow. And so we have our youth meeting on Saturdays. Well, what a blessing. They led 3 of those 4 teenagers to the Lord yesterday. They're supposed to be this morning. They said they were all coming to church this morning. So, well, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to stay at a missionary place there. We are so blessed. Congratulations, you know, on this beautiful place. What a peaceful and restful place this has been for us, and well kept, and it's really amazing. We come from recently. We were for about a month over there in St. Paul, Minnesota, and right next to the freeway. And so it was noisy day and night. And the Lord brought us from there to here. And wonderful to see Amish going right in front of us. We loved it. And if I had to, if the Lord will lead us here, there was no doubt without my heart, in my mind, that this Faith Baptist here, this will be my church. We love the spirit here, and I met some of you. We appreciate very much your sweetness. And happy Mother's Day. You know, I'm actually Mexican. I was born and raised in the northern part of Mexico, but I've been in Uruguay 28 years, and so I have the already. When I'm here, I have an accent. Then when I'm in Uruguay, of course I'm Mexican, so I have an accent. And the worst part is when I went to Mexico, my sister said, "What in the world? You have an accent." So I'm the man with the accent. All right. Well, you know, I kind of debated on what to share with you. And, you know, I think I could speak to you. I thought, well, this will be a great message on Moses' mom, or Samuel's mom, or Jesus' mom, Mary. I think with all those three ladies could teach us a lot. But the Lord led me to this story, okay? This is really an amazing story on the Old Testament, and I believe that there are many, many truths that we can learn from in many areas. But regarding motherhood, we're going to see a lady that she was determined to fight and fight, not to give up. In the middle, not a problem, but a humongous problem, as we're going to read. So, since you're going to be sitting down for the next 3 hours, maybe I should ask you to be with kids. Don't walk out on me, okay? We will get out at the normal time. We'll do our best, okay? But let us open our Bibles there to 2 Kings 4. And if you can stand, those of you that can stand, we'll read out of 2 Kings 4, and we'll read verses 1 to 7, okay? And even as we read this story, we all have problems, right? We all have had problems, and we will have problems. If you don't have a problem, well, be thankful. Thank God. But as we read the story, think about your problem, okay? And compare to the problem this lady had, all right? This mother, okay? So we're in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. I'll read verse 1, and then you all read this verse 2, and then we'll alternate all the way to verse 7. He says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him, to take upon him my two sons to be bondmen.'" Everybody. "Then he said, 'Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few.'" So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You may have a seat. Thank you. What do you do when you are facing problems with your children that you cannot solve? What do you do when you have problems, difficulties at your job, and it seems that there's no way out? What do you do when you have too much month left at the end of your money? That is very common in Uruguay. It looks like the last 10 days of the month, everybody's struggling to, even sometimes even to have enough food. Maybe that's not your problem, but we all have problems. What do you do? What do you do when you follow your loved one's body to the graveyard and you cannot escape the loneliness and the grief? What do you do when you are walking through a spiritual wasteland and there seems not to be a way out? I don't think anyone but the Lord has the answer to all these questions. But I do believe that this story that we have just read, I think there's much for us that we can learn. And, you all know that the police and firefighters, they spend a lot of time practicing drills so that they know, how to do their job, how to deal with when the adversity strikes. And you know that most people do not take the time, do not study, do not even pray, do not really look into, okay, when adversity strikes, when he comes into my life or my family, this is what I'm going to do. And how sad. That we're not, many times we're not ready, we're not prepared. And the story that we have here, I believe that it's, even though it's a very dramatic story, it's very powerful to me, I and to all of us, very practical. And as we think on motherhood, this is I don't know about you, but I don't watch that many movies, and I definitely don't like any kind of movies with that just end in a tragedy or that sad end. I do love stories or movies, somebody goes through trials and difficulties and problems, but it has a good ending. And that is the case in this story that we have just read. And so we're going to look at four ingredients or four important truths. Number one, we see here in this story, we see a great test. We see a great test. As we look there in verse 1, we says, now there cried a certain woman. We don't know her name, okay, but she came. He said that word cry means she was with a lot of turmoil and pain, and she came, to the prophet Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that my husband did fear the Lord. And the creditors is come to take upon him my two sons to be bondmen or slaves. So we have here two big trials of life. Debts, you know, not being able to pay a bill, you know, not having the money to pay your mortgage, and you can lose your house or your car or something, you know. Here, even worse than that, we see death. And those are two great burdens of life, you know, the debt and death. And as I said, you know, I don't know how big your problem is, but if you don't have a problem at this moment, well, praise the Lord. Thank God. Okay, but get ready. Get ready, because we live in a wicked world, and praise God for those of us that are believers. We know that we are just passing through this world, and the end, once we leave this world, we will go with the Lord, and there will be no pain, no sorrow, no difficulties, and we're looking forward to that. But as long as we're here, that we know that we're going to go through difficulties and trials. Let me ask you this. So could you try to place yourself in this situation? So this lady, she had lost her husband, her partner, her financial supporter, the love of her life, and that's major, right? And can you think about this? And now she was about to lose her two children, because apparently the husband died young. And maybe he was sick for a long time, and he couldn't work, and so he got into financial problems or debt, and now that he's gone, he died. They came to get so she could pay, and so the men come and say, okay, we come, we need the money that we let borrow to your husband, and he said, well, I don't have anything, I cannot pay you. He said, oh, okay, whose kids are those? Mine. Okay, so no problem, listen, we'll give you a few days. And if you don't have the fund, then no problem. We will come and we'll take those kids as slaves. And that was the custom in those days. And they was allowed to do so. And can you imagine? Could you please put yourself in such a situation? She had lost the love of her life, her provider. In those days, you couldn't work. There was no Social Security. Now she was about to lose her kids, and they were will be taken to be slaves, and most likely she will never see him again. What would you do in such a situation, under such pressure? You know, maybe this lady, we could have said, well, she could have steal. He said, no way, they're not taking my kids. And she could have said, I'm going to go and steal so I can have the money and so I can lose my kids. She could have gone to prostitution, maybe. She could have gone to maybe drugs or alcohol. She could have gone into depression, you know. Maybe just get a blanket or a mattress and go to get it on top of her and not be, you know, give up. And there's a lot of that in Uruguay. Oh, so sad. So sad. So much depression, you know. They don't know what to do. Yeah, and I'm telling you, I love the Uruguayans. I'm married to one. My wife is from Uruguay, But what a difference there is, those of us that have hope and people that have no hope. And as a consequence, so many people obviously under stress, under pressure, doing crazy things like witchcraft, you know, going to the witch, you know, and sad people that is, they don't believe, they refuse, they don't want to believe God, but they, in the time of turmoil, they go to the witchcraft and all those dark places, satanic places, or even worse than that, they end up committing suicide. And, Andrea, again, and David were shocked just this week. They go on Sunday mornings to help this little church about 2 hours from where they are right now. And they were actually, I just spoke to them. They sent their greetings. They were driving over there. But this week, two young men that they knew one of them. The other one is a friend, was a friend of somebody that has come into the church there and committed suicide. And how sad, you know. People do crazy things, you know, and that's why we need to be careful, especially when we are going through trials and difficulties and turmoil. That's when we need to be the most. That's when we need help from God. And this is exactly what this lady did, as we're going to see. She sought help in the right place. She went to the right place to get help. Most people, many people, they go to the wrong place. And sometimes they're abused and instead of helping them, they end up making their problem much bigger. And somebody has said, it says, adversity can make us or break us. Somebody said, you know, men's adversities are God's opportunities to accomplish great things if we allow him to. You know that sometimes adversity, difficulty, problems could be a big blessing. You know, so many, even some of us here, we came, we recognized our wickedness and our need of the Lord in a time of turmoil, when things were going bad in our lives, when we were getting slapped by something, a difficulty, we that helped us to come to God, help us. We came to church to seek help. Praise God for that attitude. You know, how sad that so many people, instead of doing that, they do crazy stuff, you know, that will actually, it will not help them. They will go even deeper into the hole. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, the Lord has his best soldiers from the highlands of affliction. Then he said, we ask God to change our circumstances when sometimes he has placed us in that circumstance so he can change us. And again, we note again this great adversity, okay? And in adversity, God can do amazing things, great things in our lives, but so does Satan, because we are vulnerable, and Satan can really do a lot of harm, and how we need to be wise. So we go from seeing a great trial, and then we look at the great, our great husband, okay? We look at a great husband. Look at this in verse 1. It says, she comes, okay? So she comes to Elisha, and the prophet. And look at this man. He says, the lady comes and tells the prophet, he says, thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. What a godly reputation this husband had left. You know, testimony to his wife, but also to his kids, you know. And dear people, this man, even though he was sick and poor, but he was very wise, you know, in the sense that he says, Psalms 111:10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, the greatest inheritance that we can leave our kids is a godly testimony. You know, when we die, you know, there are so many people, they say, oh, I want to make sure I help every one of my kids. They have their own house. And that's not bad in a way. But let me tell you, even as I think about my own death, and I say, what is it? What's going to happen? What are my kids going to say? You know, I have told my son, Mark, I said, Mark, make sure at my funeral, you preach. You share the gospel. And I want my family, my kids to sing. I'm a terrible singer, okay? It's okay. I do my best in preaching and dance. No dancing. But I'm just terrible. God didn't give me that gift. All my kids are musical. And so I already told them that I want them to sing. And you know, what is it? When we die, what are our kids going to say? Oh, my dad left me all this land, left me all this money on the bank. You know, that's not bad necessarily. But you know what? My dad loved God. My dad, he lived for God. My dad was a godly man. My dad served God. And dear people, that I hope that is the case with you. You know, that will be the attitude of your kids, your family members when you get to depart to eternity. So can I ask you, husband, so there's this wife. The wife comes and tells my husband, you know that my husband feared the Lord. He was a man of God. How are we doing, husbands? What can your kids say? What about your grandkids? What will they say when you depart? The greatest inheritance that we can leave our kids is a godly testimony. And they can say, I knew my grandpa's mistakes, and yeah, sometimes he lost his temper, but I know he loved the Lord, and he lived for God. And so here's this wife saying, my husband, fear the Lord. Oh, how we need that attitude today, especially from the men. Let me tell you, in other words, there's a wise man. He got his family prepared for adversity. I'm sure he was talking there until late at night with his wife. Hey, this is what you need to do. If I die, you know, the moment I die, this is what you need to do. And get things ready. Now, you know, sometimes we're so negligent, especially us men. You know, what is our wife? What is she going to do if we depart? Is she going to be okay? And those are things that we need to think about. And so we see, again, a great husband. So he provided direction for her family. They were poor and struggling in many ways, but they knew what to do in the moment of turmoil. And I'm sure that she tell, well, listen, you need to go to the men of God. And That's something, you know, that we need to talk about. And so we see a great test, a great husband, and we see a great obedience. Great obedience. So she comes, this lady, to the prophet of God, he says, and shares, you know, my husband, he was a godly man, but he's dead. Now we're in debt, and now they're coming, and if I don't pay them, they're going to take my kids. And Elisha says, well, okay, I think to help her, you know, realize how serious her problem was, but yet they was going to see God's power. So he said, well, so what do you have? And she started negatively. She was, like most of us, and there's some people that are very negative. You know, you got to be careful. Sometimes the people that are getting to, it's a habit. They have a negative attitude towards everything, you know. And sometimes the husband could do a lot of stuff, you know, in the house, but sometimes we look at something that he did not do. Why didn't you look at all the things that he did? But anyways, Mother's Day, so we want to beat on the wives. We want on the moms. But, Satan could do much damage when we are negative. She started negative. She said, so what do you have? And she said in verse 2, he says, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. So she started to say, I don't have anything. But then she reflected. Then he said, well, all I have is just a little oil. Oh, so don't say you don't have anything. Count your blessings. Why is it that sometimes we look at what we do not have? Why don't you look at what you have? Why is it that sometimes we always, even at church, you know, and there's some people that have a negative attitude. If there are 10 million, you know, little white dots, there's somebody that always come in and, yeah, but there's a little black dot here. Why don't you look at the million of things? And sometimes even a church, that could happen. How sad is to have that a negative attitude? And we are challenged with Scripture to think on things that are positive and things that are right and things that we do have. And, I thinking about this, I remember going to this lady's house. This is a godly lady. She at that moment, she must have been in her 80s. I a lot of respect for her and just a sweet lady. But, you know, as we were talking, he said, Pastor, you know, I noticed most people are like pigs. And I was kind of shocked. I said, that those words would come out of her mouth. And she looked at me, and I said, her name is Emma. And I said, what do you mean, Sister Emma? Yeah. He says, I said, Pastor Archie, have you ever seen a pig looking up? I said, no. Yeah, all the pigs are always looking down. You know, all they look is the dirt and worms and garbage and junk. And he says, that's how many people are in this world. They're always looking down instead of looking up. And that stuck in my mind. I say, well, yeah, that's right. So many people like that, you know, with that attitude. And pessimism, negativism is a terrible and harmful attitude. My grandfather used to tell us a story. He says, when he was a young man, he says that there was a neighbor of his. They had a factory where they made hats. That's all they did. They had it was in a small town, but they built all kinds of hats. And so one day, he heard that they were closing the shop. So he was a barber, my grandfather. So as he's doing his hair, he says, "Hey, what do I hear? That you're closing the shop? Man, it was your great-grandfather, I think, that started this business on selling hats." And the guy said, "Oh, yeah. Oh," he says, he says, "haven't you heard? Don't hear the news?" He says, "No, what?" He says, they're saying that now the people are starting to be born without heads. And you know, how am I going to put a hat on their heads? That's, you know, we laugh, but there's people that are so negative. They are so negative. And you know, that's contagious. And that's a spiritual problem, okay? Because as believers, you know, we need to, that's not a good testimony. You're not helping your family. You're not helping your kids. You're not helping the neighbors. Where's the joy of the Lord? Where's your trust in the Lord? How are they going to see, you know, when you're going through trials? Those are opportunities so people can see Christ in you. They can see God's power in you. So they can see that you are trusting in Almighty God. And count your blessings, okay? Don't you know, why is it that sometimes we're always looking at what we don't have? You know, you live in the greatest country in the world. Yes. You say, "I don't believe that." I'll give you a one-way ticket to Uruguay. Or Venezuela? It is. I know that there are people that are so negative, and this is not a perfect government, and there's no, but still, it is the greatest country in the world. And do you know why this is such a great country? Because of its foundation, biblical truths, the only country in the world. And sometimes we take that for granted. And we're always complaining. Like that reminds me of the man that was always complaining because he didn't have shoes. Or he really had bad shoes and always complaining. Look at my shoes. They're not. And then until he saw somebody that didn't have feet. And he said, "God, please forgive me. Forget about not having shoes. I have feet." And so we notice great obedience. This lady is amazing. So the prophet says, you know, what a strange way to solve the problem. You know, maybe she had her own ideas on how the problem was going to be resolved. Maybe say, "I'm going to go, and he's going to give me some gold, a little bag with gold coins," and but like we do sometimes, you know. But God is God, and He has ways, and sometimes His ways are kind of strange, and they seem illogical. They're kind of strange. We could say they're absurd. And they maybe even sound humiliating or sometimes difficult for us, but dear people, we need to obey. And this lady comes, and so the prophet says, "Okay, what I want you to do, look at what, how strange." He says, "I want you to go back to your neighborhood and go and to the neighbors and get all the pots and jars that you can find. Go ask him to borrow pots, jars, whatever, containers that you can bring." And he says, "Then I want you to go, and I don't want this show for everybody." He said, "You go and go to your room, close the door with your kids, and get the little oil that you have, and you pour into one of those jars, and you're going to see what's going to happen." And you know what? She just obeys. People, there are so many people. They you know, churches, everybody, they all want to be blessed. Have you ever met somebody that does not want to be blessed? He says, no, I want everything to go really bad in my life. No, we all want to be blessed. But dear people, there's a key. It's obedience. When we obey, we're opening God's doors to blessings. And that's something that we need to teach our kids. I don't know how many hundreds of times I told my kids, Andrea, come, or Mark, or Bethany, David, come over here. Listen, it pays to be obedient. Just do what is right. Just obey. You might not understand everything, but just obey. There, we're not, all of us here, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to obey. And obey God above all. I remember, you know, struggling with that. God leading us back, leading us to Uruguay. That was hard. I came here, and Ruth, we came here legally, okay? And, we came here and we fell in love with all the comforts here. And, we knew we could have a nice car and we could have carpet and a lot of things that some of you take for granted and live in this beautiful, peaceful country. But God called us to Uruguay. And I told my sisters, my mom, but tell me my dad. You see, my dad was never in the military, but he should have been. Okay? He was a short man. And so when I came and I called him, he lived in California. And I said, Dad, we're going to go to Uruguay. Oh, say, well, that's good. Good, Archie. So how long? When are you getting back? No, Dad, we're going to go to live there. Going there as missionaries. What? Archie, what's wrong with you? You don't watch the news? Go to the television. No, you're going to see that there are millions of people trying to get into this country. Now you tell me why. Because there's future here. There's hope. Here, you can advance. You can get ahead in this country. But why are you going backwards? Archie, you're going to mess up. Why are you going back to Latin America? Look, I brought you here so you could advance and have a future. But I'm so glad I obey. It was not easy. But dear people, we must learn to obey. You know who are the most spiritual people in church? Who are the most spiritual? Not those that come to church the most. Not those that have been in church the longest. Not those that read their Bible the most. Not those that talk about God the most. You know who are the most spiritual people? Those that obey. There's definitely nothing wrong. This is good. We need to be come to church and we need to read our Bibles and all that, but we need to obey. And that's what we see this lady. She obeyed, perfectly. She listened to exactly what the prophet told her to do, even though it was illogical, even though it was kind of ridiculous. I don't know what she told the neighbors when they say, can I borrow some pots from you? I wonder what do you need it for? I don't know how she responded, but it was kind of humiliating. It was not easy, but she did obey exactly. And she got one of the kids and said, okay, get me another pot. And said, Mom, they're all full. And he said, then the oil stopped coming out. Okay? And so that's a great obedience, a great blessing. Great blessing. Okay? On verse 7, he says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live out of thy children, live thou and thy children of the rest. Wow. All she wanted was to what? Pay her debt. That's all she was asking for. But our God is wonderful. When we obey, you know, and we trust, even though we don't understand, but we know that that's what I read it in the Bible. We know that pastor has pointed that out. This is what we need to do. It's hard, but we just obey. God will bless us more than we ever imagined. And this lady, not only did she have money to pay her debt, but she had, he says, and also he says, with the rest of the money, you live, die, and thy children the rest of your life. What a blessing. Let me just, as we reflect some questions here, something that you can think about. You know, how big is your problem? How does it compare to this story? Are you a negative or positive person? Do you look down or are you looking up? Are you looking to your big problem or are you looking to your big God? Pastor.